Well, I begin with a story. One Sunday morning, when Jody and I were living in Denver, Colorado at the time, it was on a Sunday morning, and we were headed to church. I was nervous, and my stomach was a little bit in knots. My supportive wife, Jody, was encouraging me that God was going to use me in a powerful way that morning. You see, we were headed to an evangelical free church in Denver, Colorado, where I was due to give my personal testimony to a Chinese congregation. I had never spoken to a Chinese congregation before in my entire life, and I learned that there was going to be an interpreter, that my message needed to be translated. I can't remember if it was either in the Mandarin or the Cantonese language. I don't remember. It was one of the common languages. And so we were driving to church. We showed up at this church, and I was surprised at the large number of Chinese people in this congregation right there in Denver, Colorado. And there was a whole bunch of people there. And you know what was interesting is that they were dressed in Western-style clothes. You know, you normally think about Chinese people in a different style of clothes, but I learned most of them, or many of them, were businessmen and businesswomen. And there were many university students there as well. Well, the time came for me to get up front with the translator and give my personal testimony. And I'm here to tell you, it started off rough. It took me a little while to get used to the interpreter. I would say two lines and then wait for him. And then, you know, you tried to go back and forth. Well, it got smoothed out a little bit, and I was doing a little bit better. But then the testimony I gave got awkward. It got awkward because they laughed at parts of my testimony that I didn't think were supposed to be funny. And they were laughing, and I was just kind of, you know, up there watching. And then I tried to inject a little bit of humor into my testimony, and they didn't laugh. And they just kind of sat there and stared at me while I was chuckling up front. And I really wondered, you know, as I gave this personal testimony, I really wondered what kind of an impact could my personal testimony as a white American male make a difference in the lives of these Chinese people? Well, I soon found out from the interpreter. I said a couple of lines and he was quiet. He didn't say anything. So I said the lines again, waiting for him to translate. And he didn't say anything. He was standing behind me. So I turned around and looked at him, and he was weeping and he was sobbing and he was all choked up and he couldn't continue. And he collected himself after a moment or two, and then he apologized to the entire congregation about not being able to continue. And then he started to translate again, but he continued to weep. And I realized that my personal testimony had made a huge impact in his life. And particularly the part that really connected with him was I talked about my call into ministry. I was called by God to go into the ministry on the subway one day. I was living and working in New York City, and quite honestly, I had a big love of money. I had a big love of money, and God convicted me one day through His Word, the Bible. When God said to me, "You cannot serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And I knew at that point that God was calling me into the ministry and saying, God saying to me, I need to be number one in your life. You can't have this great love of money and the same equal level as love for me. And you know what? After the service that day, I got to talk to the guy that translated, and I found out that he was struggling with the same things that I was. And God had been speaking to him, but he hadn't been responding. He had been rejecting God's message to him. And when I told my story, it just, boom, had this big impact on him. You know, I believe if I were to preach a message that day on the love of money versus love of God, it wouldn't have had the same impact. You know why? There's power when you tell your personal testimony. When you tell the story about God in your life, that's why we call it God's story in you. When you tell God's story in you to other people, it makes a huge impact. There's nothing quite like a testimony. The proof is in the pudding. It's right there before them. And you tell what God has done. In fact, one of the most effective ways to introduce people to Jesus Christ is through telling God's story in you. When you give your personal testimony. And that's what we're focused in on today. And to start off our time, we're going to start off in the Bible. And we're going to take a look at a testimony. We're going to kind of examine a testimony that we find in the Bible in Psalm 116. Psalm 116 is a testimony of salvation. Now, we don't know much about Psalm 116. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know the period of time in history. But we do know from the story that this was likely a man who had a near-death experience. And he was in deep trouble. And he was overcome by sorrow. And he was overcome by difficulty and trials in his life. But then something wonderful happened to this man. He had an encounter with the living, loving God of the Bible, and God changed his life. And I agree with the scholars who believe that this was given at a worship service in the temple in Jerusalem, and that he came forward and offered a thank offering, probably a wine offering. He came forward and he offered a thank offering to the Lord, and then afterwards there was time to give a testimony, and he came before the people. And he gave this powerful testimony. And it's so powerful, in fact, that God preserved it. It was written down, likely by the psalmist, and it's included in our Bibles. It's Psalm 116. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and take a look at it. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to examine the different parts of Psalm 116. When I read this, I want you to picture a man coming forward at a worship service. It could be like our worship service and then giving a testimony like this. Just imagine somebody coming forward and giving a testimony before God's people. He says, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. A testimony of salvation. Let's take a look at these verses together, and what we're going to do is we're going to examine this testimony and take a look at the different parts to the testimony. So let's dig into a short teaching time here from Psalm 116. Notice the powerful opening to the testimony. I love the Lord. You know, I believe that there were people in the congregation that day that knew this man and probably knew that what he went through, probably knew about his near-death experience, knew that he was overwhelmed with trouble and sorrow. And so for him to declare, I love the Lord, certainly would have captured their attention. What a great opening to a testimony, wouldn't you agree? I love the Lord. Well, there are three parts to this testimony. And in part one, he tells the people about what his life was like before he turned to the Lord. He describes it in verse 3. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Death, in this verse, is pictured as a hunter. And death is hunting down this man. And death has set a trap for him. And death has trapped him and dragging him to the grave. The word grave is the Hebrew word Sheol. And here, I believe, within the context, it means simply the place of the dead. But death has trapped him, and he's being dragged to the grave, and he's overcome with trouble and sorrow. One scholar wrote, life had become a living hell for this man. And this is what his life was like before he turned to the Lord. He had a near-death experience, and he was just overcome with trouble, trial, and difficulty in his life. But then he gives a testimony about when he turned to the Lord. He quickly says in verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. You know, we've learned many times in here that the names of God in the Old Testament are very important because the names of God reveal the character of God, the essence of God. And in this case, the name that he calls on is the Hebrew word Yahweh. That's the name God gave himself. It means the great I am, and it directs us to the self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, one and only God. This is the God that he cries out to. O Lord, save me, when he was in trouble. And then in verses 1 and 2, he says, he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. You know, verse 2, he's personifying God, putting a face on God. The word turn means to bend or inclined. And so he's picturing saying, God was bending his ear towards me when I cried to him, and God heard every word I said when I cried out to him. And he goes on in his testimony when he turned to the Lord in verses 5 and 6. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. I believe that he gives this verse because he has now experienced this in his life. He has experienced God's gracious kindness. He has experienced the compassion of God. Why? Because it says in verse 6, the Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. You know, the word unwary there simply means, it could be translated as simple, and it refers to the, in some translations, simple-hearted. It's referring to a person who cannot help himself. This man cannot help himself, and he's brought so low that he couldn't do anything about it. But you know what? God pulled through for him. And the word saved here means delivered. So he was delivered from being dragged to the grave. God had delivered him, and he's giving a testimony about it. And then he speaks to himself, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. He's talking about the serenity that he now experiences. Why? Because God delivered him. God has been good to him. He continues on in when he turned to the Lord in his testimony. He says, for you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. There's a trinity of deliverances here. Number one, he's literally been delivered from death. His heart has been uplifted from sorrow, and his feet have been steadied. Apparently, he was so sick, he couldn't even walk. But now he's walking. And how is he walking? He's walking before the Lord. And the land of the living is a contrast to the land of Sheol, or the place of the dead. He's now alive, and God saved him. And he's standing up before the people, giving a testimony. And then finally, when he turned to the Lord, he cried out at the end of verse 16, "You have freed me from my chains." Remember, death was like a hunter who had trapped him. But the chains of death, of sorrow, of difficulty had been broken. And now he makes this declaration. He's been freed from his chains. The Lord had delivered him. God saved him. Hallelujah. Well, then he gives the third part of his testimony about after he turned to the Lord. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? In verse 12, that is a rhetorical question. The answer is, I cannot repay the Lord. He's been so good to me. I couldn't help myself. Remember the word unwary. But God has shown this great goodness to me. And now he tells the people what he's going to do after he's been delivered. He says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. The word cup means abundance. Lift up means take up. And in a way to describe this or paraphrase it is, I will now declare the salvation of the Lord. He's coming forward and he's telling the people, I will now testify about God's salvation. And then he says, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. The word vows means promises. He's making these promises now before the people in the temple at the worship service, because he wants them to know that he is going to serve God, and he's making these promises to live his life for the Lord. And he continues on with his testimony after he turned to the Lord. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I believe right before the people of God in the worship that day, he comes forward and he makes a thank offering to show them how thankful and grateful he is. Most likely a wine offering made in the temple before the Lord. And he does it in the courts of the house of the Lord, a reference to the temple in Jerusalem, in your midst, Jerusalem. And then he closes off his testimony with a hallelujah, which in English is translated, praise the Lord. That is his testimony. Before he turned to the Lord, when he turned to the Lord, and then after he turned to the Lord. And if we put a title on the section, part three of after he turned to the Lord, basically he's coming to the people and he's letting them know, I am now living for God. That's his testimony to the people. You know that God was not only at work in the psalmist's life, God is not only working in my life, but you know what? God is working in your life. You know, if you're here this morning and you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus is God's one and only Son. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that he died for you personally on the cross, and that he defeated death and came back alive again. These are historical facts. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, as the leader of your life, not only are your sins forgiven, not only are you getting to go to heaven when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, molding and shaping you into the image of Jesus Christ. And that means God is at work in your life. And because God is at work in your life, guess what? Every single Christian that's in this room today, if you're a believer in Christ, you have a testimony. Everyone has a story to tell of God at work in his or her life. Do you realize that? You have a story to tell. You have a testimony to give about God working in your life. And one of the effective ways to introduce another person to Jesus is with your personal testimony. It's one of the best ways that you can have a conversation. You know, when you walk across the room and you connect with somebody on a personal level, one of the most effective ways and best things that you can do is simply to share a testimony about God in your life. And the question this morning for all of you gathered here right now, do you know how to put together a testimony? Do you know how to tell God's story in you? Well, we turn now to some evangelism training, the practical application of this message. Telling your story, I'm going to go over this very briefly. If you take a look on the reverse side of the sermon notes, you can see that there are three parts to giving a personal testimony. And there are questions that you need to answer when you put it together, because you need to write it out and you need to get it down and be able to tell God's story in you. I'm just going to briefly go over these questions so you can be informed of how you can put together a personal testimony. Part one of your testimony is before you met Jesus. That's if you're a Christian here today, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus. What was life like before Jesus? You know, what was your early spiritual background? What type of person were you before you met Jesus? You know, what was your life like before you met Jesus? And for those of you who say, well, I don't even remember a time that I didn't believe in God, that's a great way to start a testimony, that you grew up in the church and you grew up with a godly family and you give testimony about that. That's a great thing to say to someone, because God saved you from a lot of heartache. Trust me, if you were brought up in the church and you were brought up with knowing God as a young age, that's a good way to start your personal testimony. And after you talk about before you met Jesus, you simply tell someone when you met Jesus. The questions are simple. What caused you to consider Jesus? What realization did you come to? How were you introduced to Jesus? Specifically, when and how did you receive Jesus as your Savior and the leader of your life? Why did you decide to become a Christian? These are the questions that you answer and you write out when you tell somebody, so that you can tell somebody when you actually met Jesus Christ. Where were you? What did you do? How did it all come about? And then you come to part three of your testimony after you met Jesus Christ. How did your life begin to change after you trusted Jesus? What difference has Jesus made in your life? What recent examples can you provide of experiencing God? You see, people want to know the difference that Christianity makes, and you're the ones to tell them what difference it makes in your life that you're a Christian. What has God done for you? What's happened on the inside here? How has your life changed? What difference does it make that you now know Jesus Christ? That's got to be part of your testimony. And you know, if the Spirit is leading, I'm not putting pressure on anybody, but I just thought I'd throw this in there. You know, you have a conversation with somebody and you tell them a testimony. Sometimes it's appropriate to give an invitation simply by asking a question. You know, have you ever considered putting your faith in Jesus? You know, God's positively changed my life. Would you like God to change your life? Or, you know, what God did for me, He can do for you. Something as simple as that. And you just let the Holy Spirit move, you know, when you're having that conversation with somebody. What are your next steps? How would you actually apply this message today? Well, this is part of the evangelism training. This is what you need to do. This is your homework. You write out your testimony. Use the questions there from the sermon notes. Practice saying it out loud to yourself and then to another person. Get it down in 3 minutes or less. You know, when you're in a conversation with someone, you can't give a half hour or 30-minute story, right? You got to get it down to a good size amount of time. And then you memorize it. It shouldn't be hard for you to memorize it because it's your story. It's what God is doing in your life. So you should be able to get it down. And then finally, be ready to share God's story in you. You know, at our life groups, at our small groups on Wednesday nights, all the folks in the life groups have already followed these steps, and they all put together their personal testimonies, and it was so encouraging to see each person give their personal testimony this past Wednesday night. Each story was unique. Each story was special. Each story has an impact and makes a difference in somebody's life. And it's so encouraging to see the folks in the small group put together their personal testimony so that they could share with one person that they're trying to reach, one person that they're showing the love of Jesus to. So basically, my bottom line is, tell God's story in you. It matters. It can make a difference. You can change someone's life by telling your personal testimony. It's time to walk across the room.